Claire, this one? Black one. There you go.
Hello.
Actually, do you know what? I should say one other thing, because I think this is, it's not the last time we'll see Claire and we'll get to pray for her, but this is the final time that she will speak before heading to Bible College in Bristol. And everyone that's here that's been around a bit will have really appreciated Claire's teaching, Claire's friendship and partnership in the life of the church. And so I before I stood down, I suddenly realized, no, I don't want to let her get up on that final time without us expressing our appreciation, particularly for this ministry that she's served us in. We believe she's gifted and called. We really appreciate the teaching gift that God's put in Claire. We're looking forward to seeing how that's going to develop, and we're really enthused by that. But shall we just express our appreciation to Claire for the way she served us over here? Yes, absolutely.
To make me emotional before I speak, Andy, honestly. Yeah, so just to fill you in a little bit, I have been, every time I've done a talk, I'm like, so latest update on my life. I think most of you know by now that I am, going to go and train to be a Baptist minister in September. I'm going to be moving down to Bristol. So that bit was, it's been a long process. So you have to go through interviews with the Baptist Union, then interviews with the college. And that was all sorted around Easter. And then the final piece of the puzzle has sort of been fitted in 3 weeks ago. I went for an interview with the church in Weston-super-Mare. And I am going to be community pastor for Parklands Community Church, which is really exciting. It's a new church plant. Basically, it was an old RAF base. They've knocked it down. They're rebuilding all these new houses. There's about 600-ish houses out at the moment. There'll be about 6,000 when it's finished. New schools, colleges, supermarkets, everything. And we are going to be the church there. And there's a church plant already of about 12 people. And I'm going to be leading that church plant. They've just started meeting on Sunday mornings at Easter. And it's really exciting because it's this new community. And right at the start of this community, we're saying, well, we want Jesus to be here. And we want Jesus to make a difference. And we want to get to know people and bless people and share the gospel. So, I also would appreciate prayer. It's a massive life change. I finished my job as a teacher, maths teacher, Friday. And busy weekend for me. And then I'll be moving down in September. So, yeah, lots going on. I've done a little... newslettery thing, because it's got my face on it, that you could take to remind you to pray for me. That will be awesome. And I've got some at the front if you want to take one. And also, I financial support. I need about £22,000 in fees for Bible College, which I do not have. If anyone would like to support me, that would be awesome. As massive fans of Tim and Becky, I do not want to detract from them at all. So just pray about it, and I'm sure God will tell you to give to both of us. So grab a leaflet at the bottom, at the front later, and then chat to me. And I'll be at Transform and stuff as well. So, yeah. Huh. But today we are finishing our series on Joshua. And we called this series God's People on the Move. And I kind of want to help us today really reflect back and finish this series well. I guess finishing well is something that I've been thinking about, because like I say, I was finishing my job at the school, I was finishing my time as a teacher, and you kind of want to finish it well. And I feel like actually it was. I feel really blessed actually that I finished my time as a teacher at a school that I really like, with kids that I like and a team that I like, and I'm not leaving teaching going, I hate teaching, although there are some bits I will not miss. But actually I'm moving on to something else in a positive way. But I also want to help us finish this series well. I've been a member of the teaching team for quite a while now, and I think we've got quite good at starting our series well and setting them up. But sometimes we kind of finish a series and then we just move on to the next thing without really reflecting back and thinking, well, what has God been saying? Partly, I think, because often we tend to finish a series, you know, oh, we finish a series, it's summer holidays, or we finish a series, it's Christmas, or, you know, it's just partly the timing of it. But we really want to use this time this morning to reflect back on what God's been saying. Because we didn't just go, ip, dip, do, let's do Joshua. We actually really thought about it. We prayed about it. We weighed it as a team. We spoke to the leadership team about it. We believe that God wanted us to look at Joshua, and God had something to say to us through the book of Joshua. So we want to reflect back on that and really make sure that we've heard from God. We want to be people who hear from God and then act on it as well. So that's what we're going to sort of use our time for this morning. So we're going to split our time into three sections. Looking back, looking up, and looking forward. If you recognise those three sort of title bits, it's from Nick Duffy did the training. They do this thing called Three Thirds Discipleship, and this is how they use their time together. And I pinched the idea, I like it. So, we're going to split our time into doing these three things as we sort of finish off Joshua. And I will tell you now, there is going to be some congregational participation. Woohoo! Okay. You guys are going to be getting into groups and discussing things this morning. Okay. That is not something to be afraid of. Okay. It is not a test that you need to pass. This is not school. Okay. But I just really encourage you to, it's really encouraging to talk to each other, hear what God's been saying, and let's dig into the Bible ourselves. Okay. So, first of all, looking back, we're going to have a look back at what we have done. We've spent about 3 months in Joshua. We've had a few weeks off for maybe baptisms, or we took some time out when the Manchester bombings happened to kind of reflect on that. So there's been the odd week where things have been a bit different. But over the last 3 months, we have been looking at the book of Joshua. And these are some of the talks that we've had. So, just to remind you, week one, I spoke, and I did a bit of an overall picture of the background of Joshua, and I had the catchy title of Now About All That Killing, where we kind of tried to unpack and really think through some of the stuff that we were going to be reading about war and people being killed and what did that mean and how did that fit. Mark spoke to us in Joshua 1 out of being strong and courageous, the words that God gave to Joshua and then Joshua gave to the people as they started out on this journey. Zoe spoke to us about Rahab and the spies, a story of the unexpected. The most unlikely person ever to want to respond to God steps up and hears from God and helps God's people. Andre talked to us about focus on the plan maker rather than the plan as the people stepped into the land through the river, which seemed the most bizarre way of doing things, and yet God had a plan for them. Nick spoke to us about Jericho, another crazy story of God doing something in the most unexpected way when they defeated this undefeatable town of Jericho. Chick spoke to us at the defeat of Ai when the people didn't do what God asked them to do and they were defeated. And Tom spoke to us about the Gibeonite deception where the people again relied on their own understanding and didn't turn to God. But then Sarah spoke to us from Joshua 10 about how you can move on from those mistakes and how the people turned back to God and were able to move forward and didn't need to be defined by the mistakes that they'd made. Now, I know you're thinking, hang on, how can we fit in Joshua today? We've only done Joshua 1 to 10 there. I'll talk to you about that in a minute, the rest of Joshua. But before we move on, as we think about looking back, I would like you guys to get into groups of about 3 or 4-ish and to think about what has God spoken to you about through this series? What have you learned? How have you felt challenged? Have a chat about it. Now, you are allowed to say, I've not been here. That's fine if you've not been here. You are allowed to say, I'm the parent of small children. I barely remember my name, never mind what we did last week. That is okay. That's fine, okay? Like I said, this isn't about it being a test. If you've not been here, and maybe if no one in your group has been here, hey, have any of you heard another good talk? Have you been at another church? Or what have you been thankful for over the last 3 months? Let's look back and think, hey, what's been good about the last 3 months? So I'm going to say it again. It's not a test. It's just about helping jog your memory, maybe get your notes out. Even just looking at the titles there might make you go, oh, yeah, that was something for me. Or actually for me, one of these talks, as I look back through it, I thought, oh, at the time I'd made my notes, thought, yeah, yeah. But now I've looked back at it and gone, wow, that really is for me right where I am today. So sometimes it's good to look back in that way. So if you get yourselves into groups about 3 or 4-ish, it's not too precise. And I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to have a quick chat and just jog yourselves and what has God been saying? Go. Okay, 5, 4, teacher style, 3, 2, 1, and stop. Okay, cool. So hopefully that was encouraging. It got you thinking back. Maybe you just met someone that you hadn't met before. That's cool. But I'd also encourage you, if you missed some of the talks, they're online, go back and listen, or go back and listen again if you really felt like something has spoken to you. I've got some talks on my iPod on my phone that I've listened to like 10 times that I really feel have been talks for me, and I go back and I listen to them again and again, because sometimes you don't pick everything up or we just forget stuff. So yeah, I'd really encourage you to keep digging into Joshua and to fill in those gaps if you have got any of those gaps. Okay, so we've looked back, and hopefully, like I say, that was encouraging for you. Looking up then, that will be the time we get into the Bible again. Okay, what does God want to say to us today? Now, Joshua has 24 chapters. We've done chapters 1 to 10, and this is kind of what happens quickly in the rest of Joshua. In Joshua 11, there are some more northern kings defeated. And then effectively, from Joshua 12 to Joshua 21, we have a lot of lists. We have a list of the defeated kings in 12. In Joshua 13, we have a list of the land that's not been taken yet. In 14 to 21, we have the division of the land and the inheritance. And this is very detailed if you get into it. It's like, and so-and-so's son, you know, Gad had this son, and this son had this son, and this son had this son, and they had this bit of land from that tree to that bit of river to that bit of rock around there. And it's literally chapter after chapter after chapter of that. And then in chapter 22, it talks about the eastern tribes return home. So basically, some of the tribes had already been given their land like ages ago, but they kept going with the rest of the Israelites to help them fight and defeat the other enemies, and then they get to go back. And then we're going to zoom in on Joshua 23 and 24 in a minute. So those chapters in the middle, now, we were kind of looking at it as a teaching team, like, okay, how would we preach on that for like 5 weeks? There's just sort of lists and lists. That's not to say that there isn't anything amazing in there. There are some beautiful bits of detail in there. There's a story about, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, Zelophehad's daughters. In Numbers 27, back in the day when Moses was the leader, they went to Moses and asked about their inheritance because there weren't any men in their family to inherit the land. And God's like, no, they can have the land. And we see them get the land. So it's like this fulfillment that we see, just this little detail that you might miss. And actually, the detail that God goes into, the detail that is written down, is really significant. For us, it might just be lists of names. But for the people then, this was their family. This was their people getting the land that God had promised. Many, many, many years before this, God had taken this guy called Abraham, who had no children. He had taken him outside and said, look at the stars. That is how many your descendants are going to be, and they are going to inherit this land. And we read in Joshua of descendant after descendant after descendant, family after family after family that have come from Abraham's family, and look at the land that they are inheriting. Those chapters, and really the whole book of Joshua, is a story of God's faithfulness, that he is in the detail, that what he says will happen. And not just sort of generic, but actually he cares about those individuals, those daughters from that family get a mention because God knew who they were. And he knew every single family the bit of land that they were going to get. It's amazing to see sort of the care and the detail that goes into that. Even though preaching on it might have got a little bit dry after sort of week 4 or 5 of going through those lists. But we're going to zoom in on Joshua sort of 23 and 24. And I'm going to read some of the text with you. And then I'm going to get you guys into groups to have a bit of a chat about it. We're going to kind of use something called Discovery Bible Study, although we're not going to have time to do it fully. But this is a way that I really like to read the Bible. I just find it really helpful in terms of getting me into the text. What does it mean? What does it mean for me? So normally you would read the passage. You would then rewrite or retell it in your own words. We're not going to have time for that bit. And then you ask a few questions. Question one, I'm going to tell you them now so you can be thinking about it, is what does the passage tell us about God? And question two is what does this passage tell us about people? So I'm going to read through some stuff from Joshua 23 and 24, which is basically, well, it says at the start of Joshua 23, when Joshua is very old and he knows he's going to die, he gathers all the people together to sort of give them one last speech, one last thing that he wants to talk to them about. And we're going to read Joshua 23 and then a bit of Joshua 24. So Joshua 23, it says, a long time afterwards, so after sort of a lot of these defeating and people have inherited the land, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, I am now old and well advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. For it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. Behold, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes those nations that remain, along with all the nations that I have already cut off from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight, and you shall possess their land just as the Lord God promised you. Therefore, be very strong to keep to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you or make mention of the names of their gods or swear by them or serve them or bow down to them, but you shall cling to the Lord your God just as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. And as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to flight thousands, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised you. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. For if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you and make marriages with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. But they shall be a snare and a trap to you, a whip on your sides and thorn in your eyes, until you perish from off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you. And then in 24, Joshua says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in the land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all the way that we went, and among all the peoples whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, then put away foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in statutes and rules for them at Shechem. Okay, it's quite a big passage, but it kind of effectively sums up the whole story. It talks about what has God done for them, and then Joshua issues this challenge to them. So the first question then, you can sort of stay in your groups, I want you to have a bit of a chat about is, what does this passage tell us about God? Or you might kind of want to reflect back on the whole story of Joshua, really, because this passage sums it up. What does this tell us about God? So I have actually got some Bibles at the front. If you've not got a Bible, I'll bring them here, get it on your app. I'll flick through the pages up here. But get in your groups and just very quickly, maybe 2 minutes, because we are really running out of time. What does this passage tell us about God? What does it tell us about who God is? Off you go. Okay, 10 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and stop. Okay, so that clearly isn't enough time to talk about all the different things, but hopefully just got you thinking, engaging with it. Here are some of the things that stood out to me. That God is faithful. God did what he said he was going to do. He said he was going to give them the land. He gave them the land. He said he would drive out their enemies. He drove out their enemies. God does what he says. And Joshua says that, doesn't he? That not one thing that God had said didn't happen. Like, he is faithful to his word. It tells me that God is powerful. You know, God was able to drive out enemies and help them fight as if they were 1,000 to 1, that kind of thing. That he is powerful. It also reminds me that God is the one that gives, that saves, that delivers, that sends, that fights. It was God who did this. It wasn't the people. God, Joshua makes that clear. It's God who fought for you. It's not about your strength. It's about God's strength. It talks about God being holy and jealous. It talks about how he is not, time and time again, it talks about not serving other gods, but only serving the one God, not getting distracted by the gods. And kind of linked to that, I don't know if anyone else picked up on that, it says that your God will not forgive you. And I was like, ooh, when you read that. But again, that's kind of linked to this holy and jealous thing. What it's saying is, the context of that passage is that God is saying, look, you say you're my people, well then you need to follow me. And actually, if people just turn away and serve other gods and sort of give the credit to him and other gods and worship other gods, then God, that sort of breaks the covenant that they have with God. Being in that covenant relationship with God meant that you served the one true God, not sort of flitted around to all these other gods. And actually, that kind of, when it breaks covenant, and that changes things. Now, we do see that God does forgive people when they come back to him, but I guess what he's trying to say to them is, look, don't take this lightly. Don't just be like, yeah, I'll serve God, but I'll also serve Baal, and I'll serve this God and do this God. It's like, no, God is holy and God is jealous. He doesn't share his glory with another. He requires that we serve him and him alone. So the second question then is to think about what this passage tells us about people. We've literally got 3 minutes left, so I'm just going to zoom through this one. Sorry, guys. But for me, when I read this passage, what it spoke to me about people, because really, actually, most of the passage is about God, what it spoke to me about people was that people can be swayed. Joshua says so many times, so don't turn to other gods and don't worship these people and make sure you cling on to God and don't be distracted. Well, why does he need to keep saying that to people? He needs to keep saying it to people because we get swayed, because our heads get turned. And the people repeatedly did kind of get caught up into other things. They were like, yeah, you're following God. Oh, hang on, this looks like a good idea. We'll do this instead. Or that's quite attractive, so we'll do that instead. That people can be swayed. And even though we kind of know that God is the best, actually it's really easy to turn away from that. And the other thing that struck me about people is that we have a choice to make. Joshua says that to the people. So today, make a choice. Who are you going to serve? And it's interesting, isn't it? Because basically the people go, yeah, we're going to serve God. And Joshua's like, you can't serve God. And you think, you just told them to serve God, Joshua. And now you're telling them off for saying they want to serve God. But actually, if you read it into it, it's basically like, it's almost like they've responded so quick, going, yeah, we're going to serve God. And it's almost like Joshua going, hang on a minute, I want you to really think about this. Because it's really easy to go, yeah, I'm going to serve God. But Joshua knows what these people are like. Joshua knows that actually they do get distracted and they do turn away. And he really wants them to think about it. Joshua's clear that him and his house are going to serve the Lord. But the life that he has had, the things that he has seen, you know that Joshua knew what that meant. He knows it means following God in difficult situations. It means stepping out and following God when it looks impossible. It means going after God when everyone else is telling you to do something else. When you face attack, it's choosing God anyway. Joshua knew what it meant to serve God, and he really wants the people to count that cost as well. One of the commentators here talked about the whole thing of cheap grace, that it's really easy to say, yes, we're following God, yes, we're after him, like in our words, but actually when like the rubber hits the road and things are difficult, that's when it's like really like, am I committed to this? Have I chosen God? Am I covenanted with God? Am I going after him? Joshua's really challenging the people to really make that choice, but also to really think through the choice that they're making. So as we look forward then, as we finish Joshua, you know, we've spent 3 months looking at Joshua, like, so what? Like, what does it lead to looking ahead? We called this series God's People on the Move. And believe it or not, it took us like a long time to come up with that title. As teaching team, we're really good at getting really excited about the Bible books that we're going to look at, but we're pretty rubbish at like titles and like imagery and stuff. We always spend ages like, what should we call it? But in the end, we wanted to talk about God's people on the move because we feel like this is a story of God's people on the move that hopefully will inspire us as God's people to be on the move. It's been a story about moving into the promises of God. It's been a story about obedience. It's been a story about repentance when you mess up. But more than anything, it's a story about moving closer to God, about not moving away from him, but coming close to him and wanting to follow him wherever he sends us. And like the people then, we still have a choice. Do we want to serve or follow God or not? Do we want to obey him? Do we really want to give him everything? Like then, I think it's easy for us to say, yep, I'm following God in a meeting or when we're all together on a Sunday morning. But actually, when we're at work and something's difficult and we've got that choice, or when something else comes up in life, or when it involves a sacrifice, something that's difficult, that's when it's hard, isn't it, to make that choice? It can be easy to say it in our words, but harder to back it up with who we are and how we live our lives sometimes. You know, and I know, like, for Tim and Becky, who've been sharing this morning, you know, they are following this call to go to Ibiza, and they're going, yes, we're going to Ibiza. But then all the other stuff comes up. Okay, well, how are we going to pay for it? And what about our kids? And will they learn Spanish? And what about this? And we're saying goodbye to friends and family. And there's all this other stuff that makes it hard to actually go, yes, I am going to follow God. So we need to get behind them and go, yes, guys, be strong and courageous. God is with you. God is faithful. And another one of my friends, Miriam, some of you will know Miriam Duncan. Next time you see her, she'll have a 10-year-old child with her. And you're thinking, hang on. It's because she's decided, she really felt like God spoke to her about leaving her job to become a foster carer full time. And this week, a little boy's come to live with her. And, you know, she knows that God told her to do this. She absolutely knows. That doesn't mean it's not scary. You know, the night before, chatting to her on the phone, and she's like, oh, I feel a bit sick, you know. And what am I going to do? And sort of like texting her and encouraging her. You know, we need to get behind her as she steps out and goes, okay, God said this. And I'm not just going to say yes with my mouth. I'm going to say yes with my life. And I'm going to say yes by living differently. Yeah. We need to get behind her and go, go on, Miriam, you can do this. Here's some ideas of what to do with a 10-year-old and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, for me, I'm a person on the move at the moment. Everything in my life is changing and it's quite scary. And, you know, I do worry about stuff. I worry about how it's going to work and making new friends, having enough money, finding somewhere to live. Missing, you know, well, I miss being a maths teacher. What about all the mistakes that I'm going to make? What about all the stuff that I don't know about being a church leader yet? But I do know this, that whenever I have stepped out and moved and followed God, whenever I have chosen him and to follow him, he has never let me down. I have never been homeless yet, and I have moved a lot. I've never run out of money. I've always had something to eat. God's always turned up, sometimes in very random ways. There are often things where I've gone, okay, I'm going to do this, and I've no idea how it's going to get, I'm going to finish it all in the end. And God's come away, like the walls of Jericho and all these other crazy stories you read about Joshua. God does not let his people down. And if we make that choice to move for him and step out for him, he will not let us down, even though it can be scary. And so we might worry at times about how it's going to work out, but the book of Joshua reminds us and gives us hope that we have a God who is able to do so much more than we can imagine, and often does it in ways that we would never imagine. He takes impossible situations and solves them in very creative ways, and he is always faithful. He is always with us, even if we mess up. So the final question on a DBS study, a Discovery Bible study, is about what are we going to do then? So what? How does this passage change how we live? How does this book change how we live? How do these 3 months of digging into Joshua with all these strange place names and tribe names that we've had to pronounce and get our heads around, how has that changed us? How are we going to be different because of it? It's been really exciting to hear and to be part of church as we've changed and grown, you know, especially with all this stuff like doing the training about evangelism, hearing all the life stories. That's been so exciting to see that we are a church on the move, like wanting to get that momentum going and going, yes, come on, we want to be more outward. I know that life groups are going to be changing, and that's something that's a bit scary, and how will that work? And we might have questions, but actually, that's because we want to be a people on the move who are more outward, and we really believe that God is calling us to make a difference in our communities, and we want to follow that call. But I also believe that we have a God who wants to speak to us individually as well through his word. And we want to be a people who read the word and not just hear it, but are changed by it. We want to act on what we hear. The aim of this series wasn't that we can all now go away and go, oh, well, I know more about Joshua and I can tell you about these kings and these places. The aim of this is never just to increase our head knowledge. It's to change us. It's that we go out different. It's that we are impacted. And, you know, we believe that the word of God is living and active, that it gives life, that it guides us, that God speaks through it. So we don't just want to be hearers. We want to be doers. And if this was my closing speech, it is to just encourage you to get into the Bible. And I don't say that as someone who always finds it easy. I'm not one of these people who gets up at 4 a.m. and reads the Bible for 2 hours. I am dragging myself out of bed, like getting breakfast if I can make it, you know, on the way to work. Sometimes I read the Bible every day. Sometimes I'm rubbish at it. But whenever I come to the Bible, whenever I spend that time with God, I know that he wants to speak to me and I know that it's worth it. So this third question then, how does this passage change how we live? I'm not going to get us to get into groups. The band will come up and lead us in a song in a minute for those of us who don't need to go and collect kids. But I just really want to encourage you to think about maybe these passages from Joshua 23 and 24, or maybe the whole book of Joshua, and just ask God, what do you want me to do? Is there something you want me to do differently? What choice are you putting before me today? Where have I not been obeying you? Or where have I been actually giving my attention and my love to something else, and it's not you? We all have a choice to make, and I think it's easy to make the choice and go, yeah, I'm a Christian, yeah, I'm following God, but I know in the day-to-day I get distracted, and I know that there's other things that I give my time to and my attention to at times, and I guess I just want to give us that opportunity to reflect. So I'm just going to invite Chris to come up now, and he's just going to play for us as we have that time. You know, you might be here and you've never made the choice to follow God. Well, today you can make that choice. Or you might want to make the choice to come to Alpha on Wednesday night and go, okay, well, these people seem pretty committed. What is it they're on about? Let's ask some questions. We have a God who speaks, and we have a God who calls, and we have a God who can call us into an amazing adventure with him. And I just want to encourage you to use this time to be open, because God does want to speak to each one of us, and God has something to say to each one of us, and he wants to be with us and encourage us in those steps.